In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We are a nation of wimps. We've lost our stomachs. We don't have the strength of our convictions any longer, both as a society, but even as the Christian church. People who theoretically should know better than our society, we claim to believe certain things to be true and right and good. And therefore, by implication, we also believe other things to be untrue, to be wrong, to be evil. But after giving lip service to what we believe, we so often turn around and we forget. We turn a blind eye, we ignore, we pretend, we don't see, or maybe in fact we do see. Maybe it is as plain as day, the things that we see going wrong. But our consciences have gotten so hardened that our own actions and those of our society don't even register with us as wrong anymore. And of course, we all complain about our society. We complain about how people are no longer polite, how they've lost the social niceties, they've lost respect, especially for authority, how there's no longer a work ethic in society, there's no longer a sense of decorum. There instead is this sense of entitlement out there. But you know what? You and I are part of this society, aren't we? And so if these things are wrong, what have you and I done to combat them? Or do you and I simply turn a blind eye to those things and pretend like they aren't happening? Whether it's because we're too busy, or we're too tired, or we don't even know that they are wrong, or we just don't care. And of course, if this is how we act on those little things that you and I complain about so bitterly, if this is how we act there where we don't have the stomach to do or to say anything about them, then what are we going to do about the big things that actually matter? Who will have the courage to stand up when wrong is being done? You and I don't stand up for the little things. We don't have courage to stand up in those little things, which we all know if we tended to some of them, it would prevent some of the bigger issues. And this is because you and I are weak. You and I have failed. And though you may stand up for what is right occasionally or in some circumstances, you don't do it consistently, do you? There are people whom you let off the hook just because it's easier. You know, that cantankerous, rebellious child that you're tired of fighting with, your spouse, your neighbor, whom you know beats his wife regularly, but you turn a blind eye. We feel caught in those circumstances. We feel unsure. We are scared. We don't know what to do or what will happen if we do something. And so we don't do what we know that we should. Repent. We tell ourselves that our turning a blind eye, that it's compassionate, that it's somehow more civilized or enlightened, that it's kinder, it's more just than those arrogant ne'er-do-wells of previous generations who were so interfering. Or we tell ourselves we're being Christians. We are being gracious by not holding people to account. But in reality, the truth is, you and I don't have the stomach to see people in pain. And whether it's the pain that they have justly brought on themselves or not, a pain that they may even need in their lives to teach them to turn away from their folly, we don't want to see it. And so it's not kindness, it's our own squeamishness that we are acting from. It's out of our desire for peace at all costs, even if the cost of that peace with them is their eternal soul. Repent. Because your inconsistency, it discredits you. It means that you are not just, that you are not right. You're not right with God or with the world. And so before God and the world, your accounts, they are bad. Your credit is no good. Now praise God then that He counts His promises to you, to your accounts. He gives His Son's justice, His Son's consistency, His Son's superabundant doing of what is right. He gives it all to you, all through faith, simply through trusting Him when He says it to you. Now, Abraham then is our father in this. It was counted or credited to him as righteousness by God that he trusted what God said. Not because Abraham actually acted consistently on God's promises. Not because he had the strength of his convictions or the stomach to act on what God had said. But simply because God is gracious to you and me in Christ Jesus, His Son. And so you who believe in God's promised Son, you are credited with righteousness, with Christ's righteousness. You are counted as righteous for His sake. You are given His justice and His consistency, a consistency not your own. You have done all things well, for God's Son has done it in your place. And He's paid the cost of your debt to God your Father. And that means then that Abraham, Father Abraham, holds open his arms to you. It means he sits in heaven ready to welcome you on God's behalf, all of those who are his children by faith. Those who know that their credit with God is bad, who know that they are beggars before the Lord. Who know that they don't have the stomach to do what they should. Who know that they have not done what is right. That they've said one thing and done another. But you who trust in His promised salvation, you turn to God in repentance. Because like Lazarus in the story by Jesus, you and I, we are beggars. We are beggars who cling to our God's promises. Now that name Lazarus, it means he whom God helps. And Lazarus in that story really represents you and me. Because in our sin, we have nothing to offer God. In our sin, our credit is bad with God. You and I can't buy salvation. But God credits us with the goodness of His Son. And of course, this is called justification. Justification by faith. God reconciling your account with Him settled. And in faith, your credit score then with God is superb. Not because your credit's actually any good, but because He has reconciled you not with silver or gold, but with His Son's precious blood and innocent suffering and death. Now Abraham too, our father in that faith that trusts in the promises of God. Abraham too was a beggar before God. God gave him his wealth and his household. God even promised to him a son. And these promises first came to Abraham when he was 75. When his wife was 65. You'll have a son. Can you believe it? You and I certainly couldn't, could we? Somehow, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Abraham did. Of course, they were well past childbearing years as a couple. They'd been barren all through their marriage, and now she was well past menopause. And it would be another 25 years from the time that God promised that before God actually gave that son to him when Abraham was 100 and Sarah 90. Of course, they actually did live a little longer back then, so maybe they had a little more energy than you and I would at that point. I don't know. But along the way, Abraham wavered throughout those 25 years. He wavered in his trust of God's promise. He had highs and lows in that trust. And so therefore, this shows us it is not Abraham who earned God's credit. His credit was bad. He could never act consistently on the promises of God. But God is so gracious a banker that He pours out good credit after bad. And He just keeps on pouring. He keeps justifying your accounts even when you doubt, even when you flee from Him, even when He has to go out and search you out again. Not like a collection agency, but like a shepherd seeking to return you to the safety and security of His fold. Because His grace is so amazing, that beggars like Lazarus and slaves like Eliezer, that those two names are actually the same name. Eliezer and Lazarus, they mean the same thing. He who is blessed by God. People like you and me, we all become Abraham's son in the same way that Abraham was counted righteous before God. Only through faith in God's promises. That's the only way. Not strong faith, not good faith, God's faith, that He works in us. Then He credits His own work to our account. God's promise, of course, is that in Jesus Christ, His promised Son, countless sons of faith will be given to Abraham. That's His promise. It's a promise that's good for you, because you and I, by faith, have become Abraham's sons. And God makes good on His promises. At 100 years old, Abraham finally had that promised son. And thousands of years later, Abraham not only has countless millions of Jews and Arabs who are directly descended from his genetic line, but billions who are counted as his children by trusting in God's promises to them in Jesus Christ. And of course, He doesn't promise that life will be easy. Lazarus was a beggar. He was tended to in his affliction only by dogs, by the rejects and outcasts who must have laid him there at that rich man's door. But then Christ's church is made up of sinners, isn't it? Of rejects and outcasts. The rich, the successful, the powerful of the world often scoff at those who trust in Christ. They have no need to listen to God's word, for they have what they want. And it's only in eternity that many of them will see their folly. But in your weakness, in your sin, you have believed, be it ever so imperfectly. But your account is justified by that faith. It is justified with God through His grace and mercy to you. And so pray then. Pray for our nation. Pray for yourselves. Pray for the strength to do what is right, to not be wimps, to not turn back on injustice. And when you fail to do what you know is right, know that even then you are justified. You are God's child of promise, that you are saved by the suffering of His Son who has paid all your debts and settled your accounts and credits you with His own perfect righteousness. For in Christ, your heavenly credit score is perfect. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.